Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the most wonderful... I've got it wrong again. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Excellent.
There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first of 13 Football Ramble shows of over the course of the Euros, of course, sponsored by Bet365. It's happening. The Euros are here. My name's Marcus Mellor. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Pete Donaldson is here.
Of the year. We had to start the show twice because Marcus couldn't sing it properly.
I still didn't get it right.
I know.
Are you the most wonderful Pete of the year?
I think so.
Yeah.
One of the many Pete's that have been seen this year.
I'm going to make some notes and I'll get back to you. You probably made the top three.
That's right. Here we go then. Euro time. What one thing would you like to see happen at the championships, Jim?
I would like to see a successor to Jimmy Jump.
emerge, because he's been quiet for a bit. I mean, you can't trust Jimmy Jump. If he's been quiet, doesn't really matter. He could pop up anywhere. He popped up on a Hungarian weather report once.
He's loving his standards, hasn't he?
He got so close to the World Cup trophy.
He really did, didn't he?
He got, I would suggest he probably got about, in football terminology, about a yard away.
It was so close.
Yeah, and they say the first yard's in your head, so you should have thought about it more.
What is Jimmy Jump jumping from? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
His past.
No, but he could be jumping to something. Right. You have to always be negative.
Well, I associate him with the Euros, because I think it was Euro 2004, wasn't it, that he first
jumped.
I mean,
his maiden jump.
He first jumped his way into my consciousness around a club game featuring Barcelona, I think, where he chucked his scarf. Oh, no, was it a Portugal game?
A Barcelona scarf, and then he jumped into the goal, like sort of scoring a goal with himself.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, he might be back.
He should.
Yeah, I mean, he could be. He does pop up everywhere. But I would. How amazing would it be if Jimmy Jump was back and he was wearing, you know, the hat and he was wearing the Jimmy Jump T-shirt, but it was like a different guy, like Bond or Batman. People start playing it,
or the Phantom, as we mentioned before. Well, this leads neatly onto what I was about to say, Jim. Perhaps your name has to be Jim or Jimmy. Do you fancy it?
Yeah.
Well, if I did, I couldn't tell you, could I?
Do you remember, was it the Holyfield boxing match where that bloke kind of helicoptered? He was a parachutist, but he had like a little fan behind himself.
Parasending, wasn't he?
Right. Yeah.
And everyone beat the crap out of him. left in a gurney.
What's next from Jimmy Jail?
Yeah, it will be.
Short-lived.
Jimmy Jump, president of FIFA.
It's a testament to the EU's open border policy that he's able to go to all these tournaments. Fingers crossed he'll make it to France.
Yeah.
That's right. That is a good start, Jim.
Yeah.
Luke.
I thought the question was worded slightly differently.
Okay. I didn't know there was a question.
Okay.
I was no reading the WhatsApp group.
I thought it was, what are you most looking forward to in the tournament? So
That's fine.
And I thought I'd just go on a real positive tip about this and say that there really is nothing like tournament football.
Correct.
And I'm really, really looking forward to this almost like separate world for the next month, where people who don't like football can sort of get a little bit of a flavour by sort of weighing in and watching the old England game or whatever nationality they are from. But ultimately, for us, this is the pinnacle. Yeah. And you can talk about domestic football, you can talk about the Premier League, you can talk about Champions League, but international tournaments, they only come around every couple of years, as we know, really, really, really good. The pinnacle of what a footballer can achieve, not least because you clearly, to a large extent, can't choose your own nationality. Now, I know certain players early in their career can have a couple of choices, but once they've chosen, that's it, they're done.
Yeah.
And they've got no choice but to fix whatever problems they've got in their team from the inside and get on with it. And so I just really want to emphasise how excited I am for the tournament and how great it's going to be. And I can't wait for the big kickoff.
Yeah, give him a hug, Jim.
Because we're recording this on a Wednesday night, and I am cursing Thursday. It's just in the way.
Yeah.
I just want to go straight to Friday.
Is it like the 23rd of December?
Sky Sports, Sky Sports, who haven't got the rights, are doing a Thursday night show, aren't they? Oh, everyone, looking forward to the tournament.
Really? At least they're acknowledging it.
Yeah, for the first time.
It's like
when
they don't acknowledge the FA Cup exists.
Yeah, I know.
You have to search and search on their website.
So, it's going to be great. I can't wait. And France up first, so host nation should be good. Incidentally, I thought it was the tradition that the champions opened the tournament, because it certainly used to be that, because Argentina opened the World Cup 90 tournament.
No, I think World Cup and Euros, are they the other way around?
Is it the other way around? Okay, fine, okay.
I'm just trying to think.
Maybe they just changed it recently.
Yeah, because Euro 2012, who played Poland?
Can you remember?
Poland played in the opening game.
Poland played Poland.
They did.
Poland, we're the hosts. We're
taking
3 points.
This is badly organised.
Yeah. Poland with bibs.
Shirtless.
Yeah, I forget who they played, but the Poles opened their own tournament. And in 2008, where was it held in 2008? England didn't make it.
They didn't make it. It was held in Holland and Belgium, wasn't it?
No, it was held in high esteem.
Austria and
Switzerland.
Austria and Switzerland.
Yeah, so I assume one of them opened that one. Yeah. Pete?
I would like to see very much our inbox being filled with emails from slightly older gentlemen who have decided to write their own FA Cup song.
Nice.
Not FA Cup song, Euro song.
I know you meant in the style of an FA Cup song.
Yeah. You get them every single tournament. You get these lads usually on like a heath or something with their friends, running around, maybe with like a retro 90s top on, and sort of singing, like trying to reignite
England's
their...
warriors marching to Paris.
That sort of thing. Is that an actual song?
Have you been in that inbox?
You can buy that in iTunes.
Did Neil Morrissey do one?
Yeah, he did. It was absolutely terrible.
Really?
Let me tell you something now. And it's a very, very packed field. It is the nadir.
It really is. It's like fruity ladies in bikinis and fat blokes playing the drums going, "Phew, look at that then."
On the roof of his agent's office in Central London.
Oh, so dreadful. Yeah. I love it. I can't get enough of them, though.
When this is all done, said and done, that'll be us in like 15 years' time.
15. I thought about doing one last year. about refusing to do one.
We have missed the trigger. I would like to see at the championships a proper... beautifully scored and wonderfully executed overhead kick that we'll all remember.
What a football purist.
You dirty boy.
You had to bring it back.
I just see lots of goals and great defending.
A really pervy overhead kick that we'll pour over.
I just hope everyone keeps in the spirit of the game. I'm the positive one today.
You were a step away from going, "We are the world."
I feel like what Luke's answer was.
I just moved on.
I'm just on that Michael Jackson vibe.
We are the world.
Save the children.
What was your answer?
It was just to be a lot of positivity.
Your answer is that you're looking forward to the Euros.
Yeah.
Let's get Paxman on his arse.
What would you most like to see?
Answer the question.
Well, that was the game.
The game.
What one thing would you like to see happen at the European Championships?
Lots of football play, thank you very much.
The European Championships.
Yeah. The best of the championships. Yeah, okay. You're looking forward to the highlights packages?
No. Yeah, of course. I'm looking forward to all of it.
Jim's got the points.
Oh, Jim.
Actually, no, Jim's not got the points. He advances to the next round.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
But there aren't any rounds in this, by
the
way.
Can I go through as one of the top four third-place teams?
You can... The former Yugoslavia have pulled out. And Luke Moore's in.
There's four of us here, and there's four in a group. So if Jim's won the group, who's come second in the group?
I'd say me.
And who's come third place?
Peter.
Oh, come on. I'm in the first round.
Well, you asked me.
God, I'm in disgrace.
This is exactly what you didn't want.
No one's right at the airport.
Where's your positivity now, Luke?
It's gone to...
Probably not going to bother watching it now.
I've been dumped out.
Hope I qualify next time.
Yeah, right. France, they didn't need to qualify because they're the host nation. Mm. They have an excellent record at hosting major tournaments. They've won the Euros in 84. Mm-hmm. They didn't win Le Tournoi, as we often say, in 97.
That's the main one.
And obviously in
97, a well-celebrated tournament year.
And obviously 98. And here they are again. They're at the races. They're playing Romania in the first game. No Benzema, of course.
No, but they've got a whole heap of attacking talent that we're all looking forward to.
I love that, how they've got no Benzema, which would normally cripple an attacking lineup for a team with such a wonderful player like that. And then you look at what they have up front and you think they'll be okay.
No Lacazette, no need.
No, yeah. Exactly.
Why do Giroud?
I'm still amazed by that.
What do you think about Giroud leading the line?
Well, Giroud's actually been playing very well and getting booed.
Do you think it's because Giroud, he doesn't score too many goals. I mean, he doesn't lack goals, but he doesn't score too many. But when you've got like Griezmann, or however you say it,
Griezmann,
that's right. How do you say it? And then maybe Martial on one of the wings. You think they'll be okay.
There'll be service in there. Yeah, because Giroud does hold the ball up very well.
He
so
does.
If he can do that and players can get in behind, then he has attributes that are very, very useful. And he was involved in a lot of goals for Arsenal last season. He just has those patches, doesn't he? Where his head drops, he becomes all existential.
He's in form now, though, isn't he?
So.
The last couple of matches for France.
We have spoken about France as potential favourites before, but their squad is very different from that which everyone expects. Are they still up there? Because Rafael Varane has been a key man for them. He's out. And Sacco as well, obviously, isn't there after his drug situation. And that might sound like a sort of weird one to point to, but apparently he's like seen as a really important figure in the French national setup. He did a sort of Lilian Thuram recently, didn't he? And I think he scored twice in a goal from behind to win.
He is highly regarded there, but I think with France, it's going to be a case of them just having so much firepower.
Yeah,
that they're going to outgun teams.
Quite a young team, though, aren't they? They're not blessed with
what's the fullbacks are quite.
Well, Lacazette surely can't even bear to look at Moussa Sissoko.
I can't find any sort of reason as to why Lacazette's been left out. It's baffling to me.
Moose Sissoko's, I know they're different players on different positions, but I mean, you know, Rashford's gone, apparently at the behest of a midfielder, extra midfielder for England. What must Lacazette be thinking?
I know.
Sissoko's been relegated with Newcastle.
Sissoko, it's the summer, so he could get a move, so of course he's going to play. He's like, this is him, he's a guy who caves down him.
All the games are on telly.
Yeah, exactly.
But some of the midfielders they have, it's quite brilliant. Now, I know Kabay's obviously been a Palace player this season and they didn't have a great second half of the season despite getting to the cup final, but he's still decent for France. N'Golo Kante recently into the squad. You know, Payet's
in the form of his life.
Yeah, but Pogba, for crying out loud.
And they made sure they played sort of competitive fixtures, didn't they? Because they played all the teams that weren't playing because it was a slightly larger issue.
That's the thing. See, I always wonder about this because when they go into the tournament, you're right on what you say about they need to pick competitive friendlies, but at the end of the day, they are still friendlies.
Yeah.
And so... when a host hasn't had any competitive football, because if you remember, the champions used to qualify automatically as well, and they didn't, and they voted to stop doing that because they weren't getting preparation. So clearly, the preparation is never ideal, and you sort of combine that with the pressure they're going to be under. I think it might count against them, but overall, if they can conquer that and master that, I think they'll certainly be one of the contenders for sure.
Yeah, Moussa Sissoko's loving the fact that he's in there, although he's too good for the championship. Pete, did you see?
He's out of there.
I did like the refreshing honesty from Sissoko based on last season's performances, because he says, I've reached a level where playing in the championship would be difficult for me. And I thought, well,
Premier League was difficult.
Yeah. I was about to say, I mean, you're better than League One, mate.
I reckon they'd have been like Turkey or something like that. He's a classic Newcastle player where first season Arsenal are interested, third season Galatasaray got deep pockets, haven't they?
Debussy aside, I don't know if this interest is ever real, because Charles Nzongbia used to do that all the time. Tiote used to do it all the time, just say, yeah, Arsenal want me. But it would always be completely one-sided, which is quite unusual.
It's tempting to say that he must have played almost every game last season.
What, Sissoko?
He was
definitely one of...
On the other hand,
he played.
They were largely bad. So,
he trained in every game last season.
Yeah, that's right. It's very much performance-based, is football. You can't just apply for a job and lie on your CV. We've seen how you...
Otherwise, we'd all be doing it.
There you go. There we are.
Nice quirky little stat about Romania. They've only actually ever won one game at the Euros, and that was against England.
Great. Phil Neville knows.
Yeah, it was against England, the 3-2, because they beat England in 98, the previous, I know obviously in the Euros, but the previous mega tourns.
Yeah. Did they beat us at La Tourwa, Marcus?
Well, they weren't there.
Slugs. Didn't even qualify for La Tourwa. Pathetic.
They weren't even invited to La Tourwa.
Oh, nice win, nice 3-2 win. Did you get an invite to La Tourwa? Don't think so.
Are you sure that they've only won one game?
In my mind, about the whole tournoi, I like the idea of maybe because France are hosting this again, maybe getting the idea off the ground of bringing it back for another rendition, and England just blocking it. Every time, go no, we're not doing it again. We're not defending it.
Yeah, that's it. The Romania though, they've only conceded twice, I think, in qualifying.
Yeah, they've got the best defensive record in their group. If they've conceded just two goals, and
how many did they score?
But they were also in the easiest, probably the easiest qualifying.
Well, they've only conceded twice in 10 games. That's impressive.
Yeah,
only scored 11 though.
They have, yeah.
In 10 games.
£10 on a goalless draw, bet 365 is 15-2, and that gives you £85, including your stake of £10. So, if you're up for that kind of action, get involved.
I think Romania. The qualification, we talked about this before, maybe a month or so ago, about how the qualification is difficult to ascertain who's in the best nick. Because England qualify really well all the time. Spain have done pretty well. You know, Romania have done well to not concede. And they didn't lose a game in qualifying either, Romania. But I don't know really, because they're based... Take, for example, Northern Ireland, who I'm sure we'll come onto in a wee while. They haven't lost a game for over a year.
Yeah.
They haven't lost a game since March 2015, competitively and friendlies. So... But does that mean Northern Ireland are going to be in great form in the tournament? Probably not, because it's such a discrepancy.
Generally, qualifying form is pretty irrelevant in international tournaments, isn't it? So,
but in this match in particular, France versus Romania, which is the one we're, I guess, trying to talk about, I suppose, you got to think that Romania have got an incredible defensive record. What happens if they blunt the attacks of this incredible attacking youthful team? They're going to sit deep. They're not going to, you know, allow them to get behind them. So what happens? Do they have a plan B?
They'll get a round of applause.
Yeah.
That's what will happen. Well, you're right. Clearly, a point would be a great result for Romania. I mean, talking about the qualifiers, so in England, I think, only conceded three. And look how dodgy England's defence looks.
Yeah, quite.
So, right you are, Luke. I mean, qualifying, you know, Serbia, I think, had the best best defensive record going into the 2006 World Cup. I mean, some people had them as dark horses. They got beat 6-0 off Argentina. So qualifying is not always crucial. Sometimes it can give an insight.
I mean, imagine clearly Serbia going, oh yeah, we're used to playing rubbish teams. Argentina are really good.
Teams don't normally string 24 passes together.
It's not working.
But clearly they don't score a lot of goals.
Yeah,
because they weren't in a particular...
I was battling with the school bully and I was using a potato gun. And now I'm facing a tank.
That works against my little brother. Also in the group, lest we forget, is Albania, who've qualified for the first time for a major tournament against Switzerland. We could see a brother versus a brother.
I like
Granit Xhaka.
I like Albania. I think they clearly didn't score a huge amount of goals in qualifying either, but they've had some good results and they've got a good experienced coach in DiBiase, the Italian guy.
I hope that Granit Xhaka and Talent Xhaka, I believe that's how you pronounce it, will on the pitch sort out this whole house key thing.
Oh yeah,
from a couple of weeks ago. Xhaka was saying when I was a kid my parents would give me the house key rather than my older brother. I believe I'm a born leader, and obviously you know it's a bit embarrassing for older brother, isn't it? He's got a decking on
love
on the big stage.
It. First 5 minutes, massive red car.
That's my brother. It's all right. He doesn't mind, dear.
I'll leave your keys in the locker as he walks back to the dressing room.
Worth it. Granit and Tulent Xhaka is they're obviously brothers, but the third one is a drone pilot, so he's going to get involved at some point.
Wow.
He'll fly a drone in.
A drone pilot?
So he's not actually a drone pilot. I don't think they've got another brother, but remember the Albanians had
I was just thinking you might have met him on one of your dronal missions, which no doubt you've been on.
Dronal marking. I'd love the idea of Gianni DiBiase, the Albanian coach, being called, as you said, Marcus, Ted DiBiase, and when they get a good win against Switzerland, who, by the way, aren't that very good, and who got absolutely hammered by France in the World Cup, didn't they? 5-2, I think.
They did.
I'd love Albania to get a win against Switzerland first up and interview DiBiase afterwards, and he goes, everybody's got a price.
He's got a big belt on.
Dollar belt on, yeah.
For those older, former WWF
fans. Of the 1990s.
Yeah. Well, fundamentally, Albania don't score enough goals. It's kind of reflected in the odds of Bet365. Albania to win is 9-2, £10 bags you, £55 including your stakes. So it's going to be difficult for them.
Finish that off by saying I think Albania are underrated as a team who are about 501 to win it, and Switzerland are slightly overrated.
Well, this is it. Look,
do you not think the whole tournament is so strong up front and not quite so good defensively?
I think
Albania not scoring enough goals might be a bigger problem for
them. You've been watching too many England games, my man.
But Romania,
defend, guys.
Yeah. But Romania haven't been scoring a lot of goals. Switzerland do have a few players, obviously, going forward that are not bad. Mm. But as Luke says, the Swiss aren't that great. I mean, England beat them reasonably comfortably twice in qualifying, make what you will of that. You could see a shock there. Albania could get through that group. And as it's their first major international tournament, and of course they are a small country with not a great footballing history, unlike some of the other sides in that group and in the tournament, you could see that could be one of the little stories.
I wouldn't be surprised in any way if Albania were to get through that group in second place.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No surprises.
It's going to take a couple of 1-0s probably, but I think they could do it.
That's right. Let's go to Group B.
Yeah.
England.
The main event.
That's the main one.
Come on. Just come home to Group B.
Group best. Group brilliant.
Group
best.
Yeah.
That's a low point, isn't it?
Well, steady on. It's only the first of 13 shows.
We'll be spent by then.
Yeah. Who will be starting for England, chaps? They look more comfortable in a 4-3-3, I would suggest.
Yeah.
And Kane seems to be the man who's going to be wearing that number 9 jersey.
Oh, absolutely.
If that is his squad
it
number.
It would be insane to not start Kane up front.
And Sterling, you'd expect.
I saw something with Danny Murphy earlier in the week, and he said that
the cinema.
He had... God, no. So he had lunch with Roy Hodgson. Of course, they're still very close for their time at Fulham together.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said there's no way England are going to play 2 up front. They'll definitely play 3 up front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's from, don't shoot the messenger.
No.
But that's a bit of insight that he passed on.
That's right.
And it's going to be, as you've detailed down here, I think, isn't it? It's probably going to be Rooney, Vardy and
Kane.
Rooney and Vardy and Kane. I thought it might be Kane, Sterling... Well, they're all going. We're past that stage.
To Arsenal.
Well, I think, okay. Kane right up top. And I would... I mean, if that's what's happening, look, you
no, I don't know who the person they are. Oh, I'm just, okay. I'm just saying.
Well, I think it'd be Kane right up top, and then Sterling on one side, probably the right side, and then Lallana or Vardy or Rooney on that left side. Mm.
Okay. So where would you, if not in the front three, where do you think Rooney will go? Because he will play.
I don't think he'll start.
You really? I don't think he'll start.
I know Matt Hodgson.
Well, Hodgson did say something.
To be fair, you laugh, but Marcus is a long-term admirer of Roy Hodgson's skills.
It's true.
Yeah, he's been watching him for years.
Which I keep trying to defend the man,
and he's kept quiet until now.
I'm running out of time here, Roy. You better do something soon.
The Liverpool stint was a very dark part of Marcus' broadcasting career.
Loved his work at Blackburn, largely.
When Liverpool, was it Liverpool under Hodgson, I've got a 0-0 or a narrow defeat to Everton in the derby, and they played like a drain. And Hodgson after the game, I thought it was our best performance of the season. Yeah. Marcus was rocking in the corner. Yeah. I've got to do a show on Monday.
A clean sheet is a clean sheet in the derby.
It's a platform.
Roy Hodgson can't say your second name, Marcus, so watch out, all right?
He can't.
You'll never be close friends.
True. But I think with Hodgson, I actually think that he doesn't care too much about what the media says.
Oh, he doesn't, no.
Compared to other managers, which is quite crucial for an England manager, because we saw McLaren, he was very...
Because it's happening anyway.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
McLaren just wanted what everyone else wanted. But there are too many of everyone else.
Yeah. True. So and even old Svenigans, you know, having to play Gerrard and flipping Lampard in
we didn't have to do that, did he?
No, but
that was very much the problem.
Yeah, fine. Leave off.
I love how you've
backpedaled so far. He's defending Sven.
I know. Sven will pop.
No, I wasn't actually. I was saying he was silly because I thought he bailed too much of the media pressure off playing Gerrard and Lampard in the centre. Well, you probably should play.
It's a little. Well,
I don't know why I'm going. Sorry, everybody.
Can I just speak on behalf of the general public? I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, fine. And I would like to apologise to you and the general public.
A little quick Mortradamus prediction for the Euros.
Please.
I think we'll see Sven in the crowd at some point.
Now you're talking.
It'll be picked out in the crowd by an overzealous director and vision mixer.
Yep.
Probably look quite sharp and tanned.
The bigger question is, who will he be with?
It'll be with some sort of a head of an FA in some struggling European nation. Yeah. Look at the good job.
A lady that's much younger than him.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, I was going to say, that's one side, Luke. What I'm trying to get at.
I was trying to keep Cam and Sven Cam will be the same.
I was trying to keep it professional. You go and live his personal life. I think that's unacceptable for the media.
He released an autobiography detailing what he did in his personal life.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, he made it public, didn't he?
Well, that's England done there, anyway.
Spent more time talking about.
Do you think, is there a chance that Motson will call them the Soviets again?
What, England
in the World Cup?
England, yeah.
Will he call it, obviously
on
to Russia. Oh, Motty. How about this from Thierry Henry? He said of the Spurs contingent in the England squad, the young Tottenham players showed me something I'd not seen before in the game against Chelsea, and that was
nerves. Oh,
maybe if they'd kept the nerves, they could have scored the second goal in, obviously, the third goal in the 2-2 draw. At Chelsea, it's an unnecessary dig.
Banging the Arsenal drum, trying to undermine the England drum
and the France drum.
Yeah, it makes
all the sense in the world, doesn't it?
Two of his favourite drums.
Henry, on the absolute gravy train. Obviously Sky Sports aren't getting any of the games. Straight over to Five Live, isn't it?
Is that right?
He's on that terrible BBC advert for their coverage where they've got all like the pundits and stuff. They've got all the pundits saying all the French words they know, and none of them could say a single thing apart from Thierry Henry, obviously, because he's French,
who talks for an hour.
You've got Robbie Savage and everyone sort of just laughing at their own stupidity, just revelling in idiocy,
anti-intellectualism. I played Liam Gallagher.
It is really important that England get off to a good start here, right? Because another amazing stat, I think England have never won their opening match at the Euros, which is really surprising. And you'd think
every time you bring out a stat bomb, Marcus's face, his brow furrows, and he thinks, I'm proving him wrong here. Yeah. He doesn't listen to anything.
I can feel him.
He doesn't listen to anything that's being said for the next two minutes until he goes, okay, he's going back through it in his head.
Yeah.
It's like rubbing a chicken's face and then moving your hand backwards.
Hang on a minute, Marcus is in his mind palace. give him a minute.
It's like the lawnmower, man. Are you in VR, Marcus?
Everyone's head is Sven.
Being Sven Göran Eriksson.
Yeah. But what I was going to say,
I'm just wearing a mask.
Yeah. What I was going to say is that buzz is a big sort of thing at the tournament, isn't it? If you can get your fans up,
if you can get your
squad just excited, that's a massive thing. That tournament momentum is really important. So, you know, a lot of our recent kind of like uninspired failures at major tournaments have been characterised by a really flat opening game where about 75 minutes in, everyone's really bored. The band have even given up, and everyone was like, God, it's going to be this again, isn't it? So we need to avoid that.
They had a poor opening game against Switzerland in 96, and a poor opening game in World Cup 90. Did they have a poor opening game in 98? The second game was against Colombia.
It was against Tunisia. They won 2-0.
Okay, so that was fairly straightforward.
Sleepy.
At the risk of setting us all up for a massive fall ahead of Saturday night, I don't think Russia are that good.
No.
I think they play...
They've lost two crucial players.
It could be a really good game because Russia play on the break. Okay, they play deep. They play on the break from what I've seen, and England not to play on the break as well. So it could be a real sort of you jab, we jab. And I think ultimately England have got more quality.
Did you see Artur Yusupov? He was basically holidaying in the same hotel as the Russian football team, and he got called up. So he had to borrow some boots. He didn't have the right clothes.
Said to his wife, "I'm booking it in. You never know.
Massively though. Yeah. Do you not think?
No, but I love the fact that he's
borrowed
boots.
It was in Monaco.
Boots.
It was. I don't know. It doesn't.
Is he done the other guy?
Yeah. Do you reckon? Yeah. He fell into a bin.
Why do you need that crowbar
boots?
For a holiday?
You have to borrow some boots. Got my own.
That is like a real Billy's Boots type. But just on the other game in the group,
fantastic.
The other game in the group is Wales versus Slovakia, and I think that's a really nice.
Not interested.
Group. Yeah, fair enough.
Slovakia, I think Russia aren't as good as people may think, and I think Slovakia are better.
Yeah,
than what people may think.
I think Wales, that's a nice opening for Wales because that'll be a fairly.
Did
under
you
the
see
radar
them against
game.
Sweden?
They were terrible. They were terrible.
Yeah, they can say that they're not a one-man team, but look at the difference in the team when Bale came on. I mean, it's just
I don't think.
By the way, sorry to cut in. I don't think Wales or Chris Coleman do deny they're a one-man team. Mm. I think Coleman's been very, very effusive in his praise for Bale and Ramsey, saying, yeah, we're a different team with them in there. Mm. Clearly, the stats speak for themselves, the amount of contributions Bale made in the qualifying campaign. But the one thing they have, I think the Wales have only had lined up one friendly, and it was against Sweden, and they got beaten, and they didn't play very well. And you wonder whether, I think even Aaron Ramsey after the game said, oh, we'll get that... pleased to get that one out of the way type thing, and you think it's not really the best preparation, but opening, if they had an opening game against England, it would be everywhere, it would be so much pressure. An opening game against Slovakia is not bad for them.
Well, also, if they get like Alan or Ledley back, they give the defence a little bit more protection, I think.
Joe Ledley, I mean, he broke his leg.
It's Legley.
Yeah. Joe Legley.
Yeah. He broke his leg at the start of May. He's vying for a place in the team. I heard that. I thought, he's not going to get
have
it.
Have you seen the man, though?
Yeah. I've met the man. He's one of those guys who he's quite quiet, but he's a strong, silent type.
Yeah. Quiet menace.
Yeah.
He's concentrating on building marrow.
Working all his energy into it.
Knitting his bones together.
Yeah.
Through sheer will. But yeah, I think you're right, Luke. I think this is a good opening game for them because obviously it avoids the England circus as well. But Slovakia, it's certainly a winnable game. But with Vladimir Weiss and also with Marek Hamšík in there, they've got to be wary. It's also a bit of a test. So it's...
Well, Hamšík's not really performed at a major tournament as of yet, but he's been good.
But he's been better for Slovakia in recent times, from what I've heard. I obviously don't watch them too closely. But
another thing I think Wales are decent with is they're quite tactically flexible. So if Bale did get injured or something like that, I think Coleman's actually set them up quite nicely. But and that's a slight worry of mine with England. Hodgson's tried to play, you know, 4-3-3 was his main position in qualifying. He's tried to play a kind of 4-4-2 diamond and whatnot, and it hasn't really worked. It worked against Switzerland in the first game, but that was a while ago.
It's not going to work because none of the players play that at their clubs.
Yeah, right.
They're automatically being asked for a completely different job.
England's plan B is lofted balls up to Vardy for me, like just beating just over the top. That's their plan B. They don't even have to change the people who are on the pitch.
England's plan B is Jamie Vardy.
But that's why I made the point about Russia, saying they'll play deep because they like to play deep anyway, and they know that England have got a lot of pace. Mm. England got a lot of pace from fullback. They've got a lot of pace in players like Vardy, Sterling, one or two others, and that's how they'll try another.
But look, what we've got is Chris Smalling's lion.
True.
Do you see Chris Smalling's lion? I mean, that's a big lion to carry on your carry-on luggage.
How obsessed were the media with it?
They travel lion.
They would not stop talking about it. I reckon it's because it's the person who had the worst time of it in training has to carry
right,
it.
Okay.
Them, I think. Yeah, it's that typical like terrible footballer humour.
I mean, what do we think with England in this opening game? Do you think
winners?
Do you think Luke, that they will then, they'll kind of go at Russia, because Hodgson will have studied
them. How many points do we need? How many points do England need? How many points do many teams need now it's been extended? You could get through with a couple of...
Yeah, but you make it hard of yourself. If it goes the way that people are expecting it to go, it's fairly important, certainly in my view anyway, that England do need to win their group. I mean, yeah. And I think to answer your question, I think they need two wins.
I think Hodgson will aim for like a functional win here. I don't think he's going to have them, you know, trying to.
I think it might
pull
be a trees
as much as we'd all
I think
love
it might
that.
Be a bit of a draw, as you said, Luke.
Yeah, but England,
Russia sitting back.
I didn't say that. I said England will win. I said it will be a bit of a trade off in terms of counter attacking. If it goes how I think it will go, and I think England will better and they'll win. But I don't think that. What I hope they don't do is win about 5-0.
Yeah.
And then everyone
has that ever happened?
No, I love that. What's wrong with you?
Well, because we don't want to use all our goals up, and that is how it works, Jim, with England.
You say it happened at a tournament. In Euro 96, when England went crazy against Scotland with that amazing goal from Gascoigne, and I know it was a bit more of an even game than that, and then they destroyed Netherlands in a game that Barry Davis said was the greatest England performance he'd ever seen. Mm. Then it started to go wrong.
Then we won a penalty shootout.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a poor game.
What is your yardstick for things going wrong, Luke?
I know. Oh, I'd hate it if England won the opening game 5-0.
What's wrong with you? No, he's not. I think Luke said he would hate the circus that it would bring.
Yeah.
Let's get a functional.
I know what he's saying.
So at the point of orgasm, going, I'm probably going to get sleep now, aren't I?
Let me say it differently.
No,
I hate the circus it would bring, and that's just in this room,
which it's already brought.
We wouldn't fit a circus in here.
To be our best, to do the best shows we can do, I think we all know, it's unspoken, but we all know, we need Donaldson at least half sober. he's got to work the dials.
Yeah. Well, we'll give him some of that non-alcoholic beer that he had in Ukraine, and he'll think he's drunk.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But actually, there it is, though.
Stop that.
No, come on. The thing is with England, though, with the five forwards, I mean, Marcus Rashford, it might be... He's thinking, do you know what, there's one for the future, let's just give him a little bit of tournament experience, like Brazil did with Ronaldo in 94 when he was just 16. I've just done that. But if they've just got one position for those forwards, then perhaps will he play Rooney in front of two more I suppose reserved midfielders? I mean, he certainly likes Jack Wilshere to play in front of the back four, whatever anybody may think of that. It's going to happen, isn't it?
No, but so he let's does. Just accept it.
But could he play Eric Dier next to him and then Rooney in front, perhaps? Does he play Rooney?
In the match against Portugal, I just thought he got in the way in yard box. He was accepting passes that he wasn't quick enough to get, and a slightly more sprightly and young player would have been able to get that. So I do think he needs to pull back a little bit, and I know that's been the problem in the past, that Rooney's been neither use nor ornament, coming dropping too deep and just messing everything up. He's a square peg in a round hole for me, Marcus.
And I think with that Portugal game, it was a little bit worrying that England were playing against 10 men for a while and just couldn't break them down.
I'm not that bothered about the Portugal game. I'll tell you why. One, because Portugal are really dull.
Because we won it.
Portugal are really dull.
Yeah.
They're not the Portugal of 5, 6, 7 years ago. Under their new manager, they're a lot more robust. I mean, they basically just try and keep it as tight as possible and look to Ronaldo and or Nani to do something. And obviously, Ronaldo wasn't playing and Nani didn't play the entire game. And secondly, they had a man sent off. So, I mean... Yeah.
Also, as well, playing against Bruno Alves and Pepe, no fresh injuries.
That's true. Although, despite Alves' best effort...
Yeah. Give us the cup now.
Yeah.
That was up.
Shows you how tough Harry Kane must be.
Imagine Alves and Pepe just egging each other on to the point where Alves is like, I'm going to behead someone.
The local villagers will fear me again tonight.
But let's move on to Group C, where Northern Ireland, they open their campaign against Poland. Cole Lafferty's expected to be fit despite picking up a knock in training, because he's a huge player for
them. He's a really important player for them. I mean, he's had a terrible time of it club-wise this year. I mean, he obviously had to go on loan down to the Championship, didn't he?
And, Laffers.
But he's a very important player for Northern Ireland.
It's kind of baffling that as well, isn't it? Because he's been so good for Northern Ireland. It's not like he's fluking those goals. He has genuinely been excellent for them. And it's just strange that at club level it's not really worked.
It does happen. Some players, it does happen with them, like that. I mean, look at someone like, even the guy who played up front for Northern Ireland, whose name escapes me before.
David Healy,
who was always much better at international level.
Great example.
Michael Owen was much better at international level for a number of years.
Was it McFadden for Scotland?
James McFadden, again, scored that great goal against France for Scotland. Northern Ireland haven't lost a game for a year. And someone said to me, I think it was Andy Brassel said, he said, people talk a lot about how the expanded tournament means smaller countries can qualify. Well, Northern Ireland would have qualified anyway.
They
won their group.
Wales too.
Yeah, so I mean, they are worthy of respect. But as I said earlier, I don't know if that means they're going to be fancy to really do anything in this tournament. But it's great that they're there, and it's great that they get a chance to, you know, to really sort of put the wind up some people for the first time since whenever it was, 86 or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be quite a nice story. Was it, I think it was Connor Washington who said that he was a postman in the last Euros.
Yeah, right.
And now he's playing for Northern Ireland.
Well, the thing about Northern Ireland is it would be ideal if they weren't playing Poland first, because Poland are good. Mm. And I think their defensive solidity, Northern Ireland, is going to be tested to the limit by Lewandowski, who's fantastic.
Well, sure.
They're in a hard group, though. I mean,
they're in a very hard group. But I think that Northern Ireland, they prefer to play trying to soak it up. That's when they're at their best, when they don't have to try and break a side down. Because, I mean, even I think it was at home against the Faroe Islands.
But the problem with that, though, Mark, is at the top level, even when you do concede, you're in real trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, true enough. I think the reason why I think Poland, perhaps, is that if it was Germany, that is not a start that any flipping team wants.
But is there not an argument that you got to play them at some point?
No, I would still rather not play them first.
They don't want
to grow into a tournament.
They don't. Maybe I suppose you could select Germany. You might catch Germany cold or something. I don't know. But I think Northern. I think you want a nice. As I said about England, you want a nice. And sorry, Wales. I mean, you want a nice sort of under the radar type game. And I think Poland are just a lot better. I mean, Northern Ireland got a good chance against Ukraine, who I think are a bit overrated.
Yeah, the difference there, though, is obviously, as we said before, the circus around it. I mean, Poland, they are a tougher team to face, but I don't think it's that terrible that they've got them first.
Why not?
Just purely because, you know, like I say, they've got to play them at some point. There's no sort of story around the game. It's just, they've got to get on with it, haven't they? I mean, feasibly speaking, Ukraine are the weakest team in that group. And if Northern Ireland get them first, then they've got two much tougher games coming up. So that also creates
problems. If they beat them first, they essentially will probably qualify.
Well, Northern Ireland have got Poland first, so that's what's happening. Yeah. I think if Northern Ireland play Poland, teams tend to be a bit more conservative in the first game. Northern Ireland could get a point in that game. That's feasible. Then they would play Ukraine. Now, that's a game, if they can get a point there...
Yeah.
Well, that Ukraine game will be huge for them anyway, and then Germany last.
Yeah.
So I think that group... If I'm honest with you, if I was Northern Irish, that's how I'd want it to play out, those three games like that.
Okay.
But there we are. We'll see how...
But then again, it's worth saying, because I said that about Romania, Northern Ireland did brilliantly well, and I'm not doubting them in any way, but they came through probably the easiest qualifying group.
But they are up against it very much in this one, because the Germans are in there. They're playing Ukraine. But they've lost recent friendlies to Slovakia, of course, England.
Humbled.
Yeah.
Germany's sort of wealth of attacking midfielders and forwards. And I know those players tend to be sort of interchangeable the way Yogi Löw plays. It's just formidable. The only word you can use is formidable.
Yep.
I guess there might be a certain amount of an inertia because they're world champions. And this might be a bit of an anticlimax for them. But those German players, I mean, they're going to want to do well here, obviously. Mm.
Well, there's no fear as well. If they lose, it's like, well, we've won everything.
Yeah, right.
So don't worry about it.
They're still relatively young as well compared to how old you think a lot of them are. It's just frightening.
Mario Gomez is back.
But overall, Jim's right. I think Germany have got... Because haven't England got the youngest squad at the tournament? They've definitely got one of the youngest two. And Germany are about fourth youngest, and they've already won the World Cup.
Mm. Although a few of their players that did win the World Cup aren't there. Of course.
No, I understand that. They
have an attacking problem. I think Gomez will probably play a lot more games than you'd have expected like 6 months ago or something like that. But
Lahm's not really been replaced, has he? Have they got playing at fullback instead of Hector?
Yes.
And he's not that experienced. So there are weaknesses, but you could pick weaknesses in every team, as Pete touched on earlier in the show. I mean, a lot of teams have got defensive weaknesses, I would say.
But I think you make an interesting point there, Pete, about Mario Gomez, because he is a proper forward. And they might go for a proper forward. I mean, Thomas Muller... Flipping heck, he knows where the net is.
Yeah.
What, an any level
of
football?
He's one of those players, it's hard to know what he's really that good at.
Because it's everything.
Yeah.
Maybe to the same level.
Yeah,
so nothing stands out.
Well, if he was in top trumps, if you had a Thomas Muller card in top trumps, people would outdo him.
Yeah.
As you say, he's very good.
He's solid at everything.
That's right. But is he a kind of an attacking midfielder? Is he a forward? And perhaps defenders find it really hard. To track him down, because he is quite kind of a fluid attacking player like that.
Mm. Well, do you want any odds before we go to a quick ad break?
Love to, mate.
I think so. Well, France are favourites for the tournament themselves with Bet365 at 3-1. But at fours, Germany to win Euro 2016, £10 would bag you £50, including stakes. So
it's between France, Germany, and Spain, isn't it?
I would be looking very seriously at that bet, personally.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we'll look at more Euro 2016 stuff after this.
Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle. The streets company, but fools are ramble.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Euros, sponsored by Bet365. We're going to turn our attentions to Group D, Turkey versus Croatia. Croatia racked up a record win in a friendly against San Marino.
I was about to say that.
10-0.
Yeah, beauty! Hey.
The old confidence booster.
We're on our way. San Marino had a mare.
I love
terrible.
That. Little slugs.
They're terrible,
getting
mate.
Torpedoed
why
again.
Do bother?
Why do they
bother?
Why do they keep dressing up, pretending to be footballers?
I wish I was there for the conversation with Croatian FS setting up a friendly before a major tournament. Who we got? San Marino. Lovely old job.
That's all you could get.
Who fancies five?
Take it.
Imagine just walking around with their chest puffed out. Who we got first?
Doesn't matter. We'll eat them.
Yeah.
Double figs.
Yeah.
Some familiar names in that Croatia squad. Dario Cerna, veteran Čorluka.
Well, they've got two of the key playmakers are
Modric and Rakitic.
Two of the best clubs in the world, I mean, in Rakitic and Modric. Yeah,
Modric has been magnificent this season again. Mm. But yeah, having those two in there.
Mandzukic, hugely experienced as well.
Yeah, up front, yeah. Proper striker in the young lad for.
I think both Turkey. Sorry, that Marcus, I thought you were.
I was just about to say Kovacic, the young lad for Real Madrid as well. This season.
Yes, absolutely. But both Turkey and Croatia have serious dark horse potential, I think.
Croatia do.
Turkey have got a player. They've got Arda Turan to come back, haven't they?
They do, yeah. I would fancy Croatia more than Turkey.
Would
personally.
You? Okay.
I was reading that Perisic, who obviously plays for Croatia, he was sold. I was reading The Guardian that he was sold to save his dad's hen farm. So he's got the nickname The Hen. Oh, or he used it when he was a kid anyway.
Great, terrible nickname, but great story behind it.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say save his dad's hen party, and I was like, what? but you
it's very worse. You 2016, mate, so yeah, true. Grow up.
What do you mean, great chops?
They make great chops chickens.
Chicken chops.
You know how chicken chops? Lovely.
Yeah, I prefer lamb ones, though.
Yeah.
Spain versus Czech Republic. The current European Championships, they just lost 1-0 in a friendly against Georgia.
They did.
It's over.
It is.
Spain and Germany are having a bit of a nightmare coming up to this tournament, aren't they? Well, just messing around a bit.
It just doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, but it's a tournament, therefore Germany will be brilliant.
Yeah, I Spain are getting on a little bit.
Well, I wonder with Spain, I wonder are we writing them off a bit too quickly?
I'm not writing them off at all.
They're sort of the double holders of it, in a sense, in that they've won it twice in a row.
What are they are, literally?
They haven't lost the game of the Euro since 2004, obviously, which sounds ridiculous, but it's...
But if you look at how they played, I mean, Marcus, I know you've got feelings on the strikers they have or haven't got, but the way that they played in the World Cup, it was like they took that possession type game to such a degree that people just weren't scared of them anymore. Just you're not getting any penetration.
But they changed it though with Diego Costa up front. Which
he's not picked him this time.
Well, I think that's wise.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Who are they going to go with, Morata or something?
But in theory, just I know it didn't work out that way, but in theory, selecting Diego Costa should give you more penetration because it gives you an outlet. It gives you a player to.
Spain have always fared better without a striker, haven't they? They've always sort of everyone's weighed in with goals.
Well, that's the point I was going to make, Peter. I think that if they were were going to play a striker, it could be Morata up there, but he tends not to score too many because he's involved in the creation of goals and making runs and so on. And that's what they want. They want a forward. Whoever it is. I mean, sometimes when you look at the lineup, you think, is Cesc Fabregas playing the number nine?
Everything's tied to the past a little bit, I think. They're scared to get rid of him. Look at Casillas. He's been sticking like, hanging around like
surely,
a basketball.
Surely De Gea is the number one jersey.
Casillas is the captain, but De Gea will probably play. Pete, they need to take a leaf out of England's book, don't they? That's what I need to do.
Throw everything out.
Just having a go at Spain. Throw that side of the deck. Just caning them.
Just get it into the box. Just get it out of the way.
Whip it in. Whip it in. Andy Carroll, header.
They're on a European Championship hat trick.
On this show, within 1 minute, Jim said they've not lost a game in the Euro since 2004. And Pete said they're tied to the past.
Jim's tied to the past. He's talking about results 4 years ago, mate.
It's all right being tied to the past when you don't ever lose a game.
When you pass, brilliant. Yeah. Be inspired by it.
Oh, dear, oh dear.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine, Ray.
But this is a big tournament for Morata, isn't it? He's quite young, but you know, obviously he's been linked with a lot of weird big money moves because the plan is apparently for Real Madrid to buy him back and then sell him on. And a lot of people are looking at his record saying, oh, he doesn't look that good, he looks overpriced, but he does have a habit of popping up and scoring in big games, and with the spotlight on him, this is a real chance for him to shine. So I'd like to see him prove people, not necessarily wrong, but confirm that he's a really good player, because he shows it quite often, but not quite often enough.
He's also relatively inexperienced at international level.
Absolutely.
Well.
I think with Spain, I think this is very interesting.
Del Bosque out!
Get him out.
He's going anyway at the end of the tournament.
Yeah, there you are.
Tied to the future.
Well, you have to remember, though, I mean, their last international tournament, of course, was a bit of a disaster for them, which is why it makes this one interesting, because they do have an incredibly rich recent past in international tournaments, but the last one they were very poor. This one, they're without Xavi and one or two other regulars in there, but they still have, you know, Andersi and Iniesta, you know, Fabregas and David Silva, but David Silva's not been that great this season. But the thing is, to caveat this, is they tend to know what to do when they turn up to the big stage. Yeah. But, you know, Fabregas hasn't been great. You know, Thiago Alcantara is a brilliant player. He's suffered a bit with injuries, but he's coming in there. He's played a bit for Spain, but not so much at international tournaments.
He's a good player. Though.
Yeah, still got like Busquets and Koke in there, though. Very good players.
But Koke's not played that much for Spain. You know, we're talking about the sides that have won tournaments and whatnot. So they do have a bit of experience as well. But that's why I think this is a very important tournament for them. Because if they do have another disaster, that's two in a row. I don't think they will. I think they'll get to, you know, at least semi-finals, you would have thought. But I think that's why maybe people are a little bit more reserved with regards to Spain.
Well, they're lucky. They're pleased they're not playing Croatia first after that 10-0 drubbing.
Yeah.
The Croatia.
Well, they've dodged the bullet there. They've really dodged
the bullet. They've
built
up to that one.
Yeah. I hope Juan Fran plays a lot in the tournament, though, because he's been fantastic again this season. Let's move on to Group E, Ireland in there, and they're playing against Sweden. And the good news is for the Irish, maybe not for the players, is that Roy Keane has had his contract extended to 2018, as does Martin O'Neill.
Roy Keane, Ireland play Sweden first up, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would absolutely love a Keane versus Latan dust up.
Big time. Oh, God, yeah, a bit of sort of head barging.
Ibrahimovic is a bit tall for the head barging.
I think he'd make the effort to lean in.
13th of June, Monday.
Yeah.
4 days in, or whatever it is. Three
get yourself
and a half
in front
days
of the telly.
That'd be a lovely way to start it, wouldn't it?
Because he's been busy saying, you think you're a Man United player? You think you've got the quality? You think you've got the steel?
The absolute ego would just create a vortex to a whole new dimension.
Zlatan would go high.
And Kevin Gilbert would
go kick high. And Keane would go low.
He'd take it down to the trenches big time.
I think he might try and wind up Ibrahimovic. That would be a classic Keane tactic. Yeah. Mm. Standing on the sideline.
I don't think Zlatan gets wound up like from other people. I think he can wind himself up quite easily. Yeah. Keane said this week that about the possibility, a journalist asked him about the possibility of people getting bored in the camp over the next weeks and months, and he sort of said, well, usually like the most boring people are the people who get bored easiest, which is such a school swap to say.
Only boring people get bored?
Yeah.
If you can't think of something that says a swear word, you're not very intelligent. Piss off. Roy.
Thank you for proving our point. I think that is a huge game for both sides, because Italy and Belgium will be the favourites, obviously. Not that I think Italy and Belgium are in great shape.
I don't think Italy are that good.
No, but again,
functional. But with the Sweden thing, their greatest strength is also their greatest weakness, because they've got Zlatan, one of the world's best players, tremendous athlete and all that other stuff, can pull something out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if he doesn't fire, if they are so reliant on him, he could steer them to two big wins in the group, and they could go fairly deep compared to how many people think they'll go in the group they've been given. But at the same time, he could just not turn up.
Well, it gives them an obvious game plan, doesn't it? Which is just keep him out of the game.
easier said than done.
Indeed, but still.
I think Zlatan probably knows it's going to be his last tournament, and so he'll be very, very focused. Mm. And we've all seen what he's capable of. I'm looking forward to seeing him play. I really am. Well, he's probably the player I'm looking forward, along with maybe Pogba, who's Rooney. In great form. Not Rooney. No, I feel like I've seen everything I'm going to see from Rooney.
With regards to Sweden, are you looking forward to ex Arsenal man Kim Kjellström, Jim?
For sure.
Yeah, of course. He's a club legend. So.
Has he still got a broken back?
Yeah. What about Marcus Berg up front? It's always nice to have a Marcus in there. I find, ladies.
Have you
gentlemen.
Literally pulled that in for that reason?
Correct.
Yeah, okay, right.
just say it's always nice to have a Marcus in there, ladies.
No, I didn't say ladies. No, you heard that wrong.
I heard ladies.
Did you?
I would like to make that a hat trick. You know what to name the show.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to give Jimmy Durham as a mention, Jim, but I won't now.
No, don't. You any Andres?
No, sadly not.
England's Andre Mariner.
There you go.
He'll be there.
Andre Schürrle will be there.
He'll be there. Andre wasn't picked for Portugal.
Do you want an email on the subject?
Yeah. Andres, for sure.
Dexter Baker says, having gone through all of the Euro 2016 squads on Wikipedia after the tweet sent out on Monday morning, I've come up with a first 11 of Andres that are going to the Euros.
Dexter Baker or Andre Baker?
Dexter. Sorry. Andre Cooker. playing a 4-4-2 managed by Andre Vierschbos, but that doesn't make any sense. No. That's not allowed. It's going to make less sense when I go through the team. Andreas Isaacson in goal, who's actually a goalkeeper.
That's an Andres, though, isn't it? Not an Andre.
Andreas. There's a lot of artistic license
unless
here.
Unless that's two Andres, I'm not interested.
The word Andres in there. Andreas Isaacson. Okay. Marc-Andre Ter Stegen. It's a bit short, but judging by his Barca performances, he can do a job at right back. Andre Vazali. Yeah. Centre back, Andreas Grogfist. We've got Andreas Isaacson, again, a goalkeeper at left back.
Three keepers in this team.
We are buggered at this point, but it gets better. Andre Prepelita. We've got Andre Iniesta. We've got Andre Yamalenko. Mm. Yeah. At right. On the left, Andre Schürrle, obviously, on the left. Andre Kramaric. Second striker, yeah. And Andre Pierre Gignac up top as a number nine.
It's a mixed bag.
He says he's come to the conclusion that it would probably get out of the groups in the third place, beat Austria in the last 16, send England home in the quarters because of our propensity to be a bit rubbish and go down fighting against Germany.
I'll tell
you what
he said, a keeper with three teams is going to get the semi-final.
Providing none of the opposition realise that both fullbacks are actually goalkeepers by trade.
A team with three keepers.
But can I just say, he is right in one thing. If we face in a penalty shootout a team with three goalkeepers, we're in trouble.
We're in serious trouble.
Big trouble.
I suppose thanks for that.
Yeah. It's a mixed bag, Andre. A mixed bag.
Andre off is what I'd say there. Belgium versus Italy. Mm. Big.
What a group he is.
Biggity bong. I mean,
so Italy are a thing where I don't think they're that good, but they're a tournament team.
Yeah. They're a tournament team, and they're one of the few teams in the tournament that actually have really good defenders.
Yes, that's very true.
That's crucial. Barzagli and Bonucci in particular.
The BBC.
The BBC at the back, and Chiellini, of course.
And with Insigne as well, they've got some real pace.
But Belgium also have one or two decent defenders. I mean, a big Toby at the back.
Are they going to continue to play those two at full back? Him and Vertonghen?
Yeah, I mean, because Company's out.
He is.
Which is a huge I really like Jason Denaya, just because it's a great name for a defender.
I am denying you now.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think Belgium versus Italy is quite a fascinating one, see how they line up. And I don't know about Belgium. They sort of flattered to deceive in the World Cup, didn't they? And this time round, with Company out, who's obviously a crucial player for them.
Fellaini's hair, Marcus, come on.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. I was getting there.
They don't do that anymore. They don't have special haircuts for tournaments, and they should.
Remember Romania?
Yeah.
Bleach.
Yeah.
What year was that? 98?
Is Fellaini fasting? Because he's Muslim, isn't he?
I'm not sure, mate.
He's Ramadan,
that's really annoying to come round at this point.
No, but I think if...
you're a professional athlete.
Yeah, professional athlete.
No, I know Ozil doesn't fast, but I think Fellaini might. I don't know.
Ozil's never fast.
Nor is Fellaini.
True. Wrecking ball.
Yeah.
It's an interesting group, that.
About options off the bench, Fellaini's an option.
Yeah.
Just shove him up there.
That is plan two, isn't it? Yeah. Plan two?
Plan two. My favourite rapper.
He's plan A for Big Van Hal, wasn't he? Got them an FA Cup win. So there we are. Group F, Austria versus Hungary.
Big one.
Austria just recently lost 2-0 to Netherlands in a friendly. Oh, you can do it now, Netherlands. You're doing business now.
They beat England as well.
They did, yeah.
Austria Austria-Hungary is one of those matches you think, oh, this should be absolutely massive, and you think they play them every 2 years. Yeah. Play them every year, pretty much.
You used to have an empire together, didn't they?
They did.
I've heard on the grapevine, Marcus, you're a fan of Austria as a dark horse.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
You like them, do you?
I think they're decent. I don't know how they're going to get on, though. Hmm. We shall certainly see. I'm a fan of Hungary as well.
Oh, yeah?
Big fan of Hungary these days. Portugal versus Iceland. Iceland, obviously, in their first tournament.
Well, Iceland recently beat Liechtenstein 4-0 in a friendly. Oh, that's the stuff.
Yeah, that is they're managed by?
Who?
It's old Lars Lagerbäck.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Iceland.
Seventh tournament. Ida's going, isn't he?
Apparently they're a big fan of Lagerbäck there. I think it might be bidding a fond farewell after this tournament.
Because he's done seven. He's done, obviously, five with Sweden and one with Nigeria as well.
Wow.
Loves the tournament.
Lars Lagerbäck. Give me my Lagerbäck.
It's good to see Ida Gudjonsson going.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Will he, goalkeepers included,
will he
have the lowest ground covered stats, the lowest? Goalkeepers included.
Is his son there as well?
Is his son there? Yeah, that's not a ridiculous thing to say, Jim. I apologise.
Yeah, because his son once replaced him as a sub, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
He once replaced his father, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
Well, speaking of brothers, the Bjarne...
Oh, is that right?
The Bjarnasons,
yes.
Elmar and Bakir, they're not brothers, and I thought they were.
Okay.
So there you go.
Excellent.
What would have been better is if Fakir, if they were brothers, because Fakir looks like Thor.
I'm just stunned.
Looks really like Thor, and so the other one could be Loki.
I'm stunned by your pronunciation. It's very good.
You got Rolly L's.
Yeah,
ours.
Nice one. Any more on Iceland?
I
could probably put Sign Cat out. They'd probably be quite good at set pieces.
What about Portugal? Though? Yeah, I was going to say, big C-Ron will be back. Well, he'll be raring to go.
Yeah, we've already touched on how they are quite functional and they look to Ronaldo and Nani to actually do stuff, don't they? And you feel for Ronaldo in a situation like this because he is really at the peak of his powers and no one's giving Portugal a chance. And I think rightly so as well. I'd be amazed if they actually, you know, if they even got to the final.
They're a bit more functional these days.
But I think Ronaldo.
A lot older as well.
But Ronaldo, though, the way he is, will he not drag them?
That's often his problem, though, isn't it?
But look what Ronaldo did in the Champions League semi-final.
I imagine now if he can
against
Wolfsburg.
Was it a quarter final? Quarter final.
Wolfsburg, I think.
Where they were down from the first leg and he scored a hat trick in the second leg. If Portugal have got an eminently qualifiable group, and if Ronaldo gets a bit between his teeth in the knockout phase, it's not an exaggeration that anything could happen.
I totally agree with you. And the way, if you look at the groups and you try to do the old predictor and you think, right, okay, so if all the seeded teams fall where they should and they fall where they should, you know, Portugal have a reasonably straightforward run to the quarterfinal. Yes. And as you say, you get into the quarterfinal with their defenders as well. Yeah. I mean, if they're not suspended by then.
And we see players emerge. During tournaments.
Well, Sanchez for Portugal, the young lad.
William Carvalho in there too.
I forget his name, but the guy who's replaced Fabio Contrao, who's injured at fullback, is really highly rated.
Yeah, but look at Renato Sanchez. I mean, he's a player.
Yeah.
But if you've got Ronaldo in there.
Nani.
Nuno Gomes, probably.
Rui Costa.
Valletta. Paoletta, sorry. Not the capital of Malta.
No.
But look at the centre-backs that, you know, they can call on. You know, Carvalho, what a wily operator.
Yeah.
You know, Pepe.
Yeah.
We know what he's capable of, and obviously big Bruno Alves.
We do. That's what's frightening about him.
I don't think even he does. That's why he doesn't sleep a wink.
And that's why Clattenburg needs to be in charge of all Portugal's games, even if they're playing England.
Yeah.
But I think Portugal, if they play a bit like Wales, I know that sounds a strange thing to say, but in the sense of just play, because Ronaldo, you have a free role and we are quite functional, especially at the back. But if Sanchez is full of running as a young lad, he's got a bit of quality as well.
Yeah.
They could find themselves in the latter stages of the knockout.
So imagine then that Ronaldo has got himself to a situation now, which, you know, you could argue he sort of has with the Wolfsburg performance, where he actually can just try and do everything on his own and it will actually work. Do you think that the whole of his career has been built around just finally making that work?
Jim, would you love him to score the winning penalty in the shootout in the final and take his top off after being terrible all tournament? That would be absolutely ideal.
That would be good. That would be very good.
Motivated by me saying that they haven't got much of a chance about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, right. You said you'd be surprised if they even got to the final, but you might prove to be right. But can I just say, after we've done all these groups, I feel like we might have at least fancied about seven teams to win it.
Oh, no, I've not said anyone about winning.
You just think, Hungary.
What, you don't think anyone's going to win?
If we can't win it, no one will, Jim. But going back briefly to Austria, you're right, Luke. I do think they look quite tasty. And David Alaba plays a more midfield role for them. And he's a very, very good player, as we know from Bayern. But he's utterly crucial. Marco Arnautovic.
Did you see Alaba's own goal, though? He just turned to his own keeper and just passed it into the net. He's like, oh, cheers for that.
He can score at either end.
Good luck with that Real movement.
He seemed to forget that the goalkeeper can move.
Yeah.
Like he looked in once.
Across the X-axis.
And he thought, right, he's there now, he's not going anywhere. Like he was playing McCarnu or something. And then put it back in that spot about 10 seconds later, the keeper had already gone miles over the other side.
It's like a pull shot, wasn't it?
I'd love to see that in the tournament. I'd go like that.
You got a big Kevin Vimmer in there.
Yes.
Christian Fuchs, a bit of Premier League.
Yeah. They've got some good players, they really have.
They do have some good players. I mean, it's, you know, Marcus Suttner. It was always nice to have a Marcus in there.
Men.
Yeah, regardless of whether you rate the qualification process or not, Austria absolutely smashed their group.
They did.
It was a fairly easy one, but they smashed it. They finished well clear.
Yeah, there are all the groups for you, ladies and gentlemen. A to F, and now we move on to our Bet of the Show.
Yes, the Bet of the Show with Bet365. Basically, we come up with a bet what we think is probably going to come off, hopefully, and we put a virtual and indeed literal £50 on said bet, and the proceeds of which go to Prostate Cancer UK, which is a great cause, who do some fantastic work, fantastic charity. This week's Bet of the Show concerns the France versus Romania match, and basically, we want France to win, or we hope France are going to win, by 3 goals or more, the odds of which are 21-10. We're going to put £50 on it, and if you do put £50 on it, you get £155 back, including your stake.
I think that's a nice bet, because I think that we could very well see, although I think one of you guys earlier said it can be cagey in the first round of games, I think we could see France get carried away here.
I think
and
so.
Blow Romania to bits. I've got nothing against Romania personally, but I'd very much like to see that.
I'd like to see them blown to bits. It'd be great.
Yeah, Jim does have things against Rembi. No, joke.
So we hope that one comes off, and Rembi, you have to be over the age of 18 to bet. Odds are subject to change. Please gamble responsibly. More details on responsible gambling.
Go to gambleaware.co.uk. All right.
Yeah.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the point where we open stickers and make predictions.
This is a tradition that takes back to probably about... Was it World Cup 2010, maybe?
Yeah, 2010.
We opened a pack
all
of stickers.
All those years ago.
We opened a pack of stickers each. And make a five-a-side team out of it.
Yeah. Mm. This is like a proper tradition now, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this as much as I am the Euros itself.
Who
almost.
Normally goes first?
Well, it's all a part of it, Jim.
Who normally Indeed. Goes
and
first?
And UEFA have sanctioned that. Jim will go first. We'll do it in order.
All right, then.
Yeah.
And then Jim will get the points.
Oh, well, if you will answer the question properly.
I've already been eliminated. I don't even know I get to
Hang on, listen to the rip.
Peter!
What?
He's opened his already.
James has opened his as well.
He's going first.
Oh.
Mark has wrestled this back.
Somebody just switched off, didn't they?
Yeah. You're going to have to simulate the opening sound.
Before we move on, Jim, that was good. You didn't hold your packet up to the mic and get enough rip, and people do like the rip. So okay. Luke,
that's
remember
why I did
that
the rip.
When you go.
There you go.
No, you've already opened
There's
it.
The
don't
Russell.
Do it. No, no, no. Come on. Right, who have you got? Because you've got a good one to start, Jim.
I do. I have Sami Khedira.
Good start. Down.
Someone we know.
Nice. Yeah,
I've got formation.
I've got Tim Closer from of Norwich City and Switzerland.
Yeah, Closer family.
Switzerland.
John Guidetti from Sweden.
Yeah, okay.
Rurik Gislason from Iceland, who we're all familiar
with. He's not getting in.
and utility man, even in a five-a-side team, Phil Jones.
Lovely.
You're going to have to put Phil Jones in goal.
Yeah, I think I am. Yeah, absolutely.
He's a big lad.
That's not a bad team, you know.
No,
it's not bad.
Good spine, as we always say.
Yeah, even though. Phil Jones has not gotten.
Yeah, but he's still got to go and goal, can't he? He has to go and goal.
Well, yeah.
It's not our fault. We don't control Panini.
Yeah.
They chose to play.
We're acting like it.
Yeah.
Right, are we ready for the rip, Luke?
I'm ready.
Rip it.
Yeah.
That's the stuff,
what a beautiful
isn't it?
Sound.
Yeah. Earthy.
What a beautiful sound.
Right, here we go. If I get a shiny, I'm in trouble here, aren't I?
Yeah.
Imagine if a tree was listening to this podcast. I'd be like, oh, that's horrible.
I'll tell you what, I've had an absolute touch here, because I've got a double up, Florenzi and Verratti.
Oh!
In one sticker.
Oh!
They're my midfield pivot.
Oh, man.
I've got Piotr Zielinski from Poland.
Yeah. Yep. Of course you have.
Down there. I've got the big man, Andres Iniesta.
Oh,
this is a good team.
Yeah. Although Verratti, though, he's not there, is he? He got injured.
He did get injured, but he's still in my team, Marcus, because that's how this works. I'm not watching it. I've got Pepe.
Look at him smiling.
I'm sticking him straight in bins because he's a red car waiting to happen.
Absolutely.
He's going in goal.
He'll still come out and do
handy,
a two-footer.
Handy for five. And it's only a sin bin in five.
Well, I've got one of your favourite players, Marcus. Mergin Mavraj from Albania.
Lovely.
Yeah?
That's right.
What would you say his strengths are?
I'd say strengths are
football.
His family name is what I'd say. Peter.
I'm quite happy with that.
Right.
Bit of Russell.
Nice.
Russell and Rip.
Pull that back. Well, I've got the Czech Republic badge.
That means you can call on the whole Czech Republic team.
Is that right? Brilliant.
You've got the five-a-side Armada.
Brilliant. We've got the aforementioned on-goal machine, David Alaba.
Decent.
Good player.
One of the best players at the tournament, I would say.
Swedish heartthrob Erkan Zengin.
Okay.
Great.
And, the Portuguese old man. Ricardo Carvalho.
Oh, good. Oh,
not bad.
And the mascot of UEFA.
You get
2016.
To be fair, you've got a cheerleader there.
To be fair,
there's a lot of encouragement.
He's clearly doing a bicycle kick. Right, so you'll love that, Marcus, won't you?
I will like that. Yeah. Philippe Albert will like that.
He doesn't need to play the mascot because he can play the whole Czech team. Put the mascot on the sideline. Yeah. You're laughing.
Got everything.
What we should do? We should put a Twitter poll over who's got the best five-a-side team. We'll read them all out again at the end. You've got to do yours, Marcus, and then we'll put on Twitter who thinks we've got.
Mine's very defensive, though. I mean,
yeah. Do you mind if I find out who mine is?
What?
Thank you. There's the rip.
It wasn't a great rip.
Oh, it was good enough.
No, I don't think it was that good.
Short and sweet.
That's Marcus
Ruhl.
That sound is Marcus Ruhl's trousers for the ladies.
That was a Dan.
Christoph Kramer.
Okay.
Kramer.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
German.
That's right.
Yeah. Decent enough.
Efficient.
Yeah. Nice.
Friendliest. Barami.
Okay.
I thought that was just an expletive then. Barami.
I thought you were going to say.
Barami.
I thought you were going to say bit of an animal, Jim. Aidan McGeady.
Okay.
All right.
Stick him out the way.
He recently got some encouragement from Roy Keane.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a shame. I've got a double of the Russian players. Denisov, who's not going to be playing in the game because he's injured. But I've got Alexander Kokorin.
Okay. Kokorin. Okay.
Kokorin. Yeah. I do
Kokorin,
that.
Yeah.
We were recently told by our very own Lord Ramble that often Russian pronunciations are terribly wrong.
So it's Kokorin then?
Yeah. Could we have a nod? We're shrugging the shoulders.
Yeah.
Russian speaker in the room.
Yeah, that's right. And I've got Martin Olsen and Sebastian Larsson.
You've got two doubles.
So
the only one without a double.
Dangerous from free kicks with old Seb.
Yeah, true.
Mm. So I think I've won that.
Let's
move on.
No, let's get Jim to do his. Just read it through real
go on,
quick.
Jim,
I'll do mine, then Pete, then Marcus, and we'll put a Twitter poll out and see who thinks we've got the best team.
Yeah. Okay.
So I've got Phil Jones, Tim Closer, Sammy Kadira, Rurik Gislason, I assume that is, and John Guidetti.
Okay, I've got Pepe in goal, although he's probably going to cause a professional foul.
Yeah.
I've got Zielinski, Florenzi of Italy with Verratti, Andres Iniesta, the great man, and Mergin Mavraj from Albania. Plays for Cologne.
Decent.
I've got a competition mascot. David Alaba, I've got Trabzonspor and Sweden's Erkan Zengin, Ricardo Carvalho, and the entirety of the Czech Republic squad.
No, so. The country.
Oh, the okay, nice.
Several million Czechs.
Yeah, I got a couple of Swedes, Martin Olsen and Sebastian Larsson, a couple of the Russians, Igor Denisov and Alexander Kokorin, Aidan McGeady, Valon Barami, and Christoph Kramer. Kramer.
Ooh, Kramer, yeah. Good.
Almost.
All right, wicked.
Yeah, stick that up.
Nice.
We'll find out. We heard this afternoon that Lord Ramble had never heard of a shiny.
No, he hadn't.
What's that about?
But he said once he saw it, he said, oh, I do remember him now.
Once he saw the shiny.
Some people at my school used to call him a silver, so that might be why.
I strongly doubt Lord Ramble ever was a child, and this is just further evidence.
In Hartlepool, it's literal currency, to be honest.
He does, yeah. Right, we've done our predictions as well.
Oh, yeah, we need to talk about that. So every tournament we do a selection of predictions which aren't known to anyone but ourselves, even the group, and we seal them with a shiny, and we're going to put it on the Instagram later. We've got the German national team shiny, the world champions, very appropriate.
Yeah.
And the things we try and predict are the winner, the dark horse team, who we fancy, how England are going to get on, as in the stage of elimination for England, the top scorer, total goals, total combined cards, and a particularly Ramble offbeat prediction that we think something could happen during the tournament. It's worth pointing out at this stage, a legendary moment in the Ramble pantheon, for those who are fairly new listeners, for Euro 2012, Pete predicted 33 goals. As in total for the tournament.
I must have misread that.
As a result,
I mean, defending was probably stronger back
then. As a result, this section of the show will always be known as the Pete Donaldson Memorial section.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll do better this year.
33 goals. I think I'm right in saying there were about 44 games.
So what I'm saying is that there are more teams than ever before, more matches than ever before in the Euros, so I will go to 40.
Okay. You pushed the boat out.
Yeah. Tell us.
The final result in goals, there were in total 31 games, to be fair.
Right.
And there were 76 goals. So you're
miles away, is it?
About over 100% out.
In prime numbers.
Just kidding.
There we are. So it's always a bit of fun.
Yeah. So we unveil those at the end. Very last show, the 13th and final show of the Euros.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Great. Excellent. And now it's time for the highlights of the week. Might I kick us off?
Go ahead. It's actually favourite Euro moments from down the years.
Well, true. Yeah.
This time, and also things highlights. You hope might happen in the Euros.
Highlights of the show.
Yeah.
Highlights of the show. I have to say this one, and it was kindly tweeted to me by a Luke Campbell.
Well, the boxer. Combining
your two names there,
the
Chip.
Boxer.
Not the boxer, no. it was pointing out a lovely quote from Craigie Brunt.
Oh, great. Okay.
Because Gordon Strachan called him the Yoda of Scottish football.
Yeah.
And Craig Brown wonderfully said he didn't know who Yoda was. So that's great. That's good enough. He said he asked my grandson.
Yeah.
And his grandson doesn't quite know who Yoda is either, because he said, I asked my grandson. He said he's an ugly wee bandit from Star Wars.
They're all made of Lego.
Yeah. Ugly wee bandit. Yeah. Yoda wasn't a bandit.
Ironically, Gordon Strachan.
How old's his grandson? He can't be that old, can he?
Yeah.
But then
bandit?
Yeah.
What kid used the word bandit?
Oh, Lee. Yeah. Oi, it's Papa Bruin's family. Lee. Yeah. But when he read the quotes out to me, it didn't sound so bad. So he approves of Yoda's ways.
He even finds a way of turning that round to be something positive.
It's lovely. Yeah. It really is lovely.
I thought we'd start off with a really positive one from Ibby2Fan. He says, I'm going to watch Turkey's opener versus Croatia on Sunday night.
Nice.
Keep this in mind. It's our first major tournament in 8 years. The last one being Euro 2008, so the atmosphere will be nuts, and I personally can't wait. I'll hopefully get some good videos, and I'll send them in.
And there was an incredible happening when they both played each other.
Yeah.
I think it was Euro 2008, when Croatia scored. It went to extra time, not much happened, 0-0. Yeah. Croatia scored with about a minute to go, obviously went crazy.
Weren't there two more goals or something?
No, Turkey then equalised about a minute later in the 120th minute. It was fantastic, and then Turkey won the penalty shootout.
Yeah, they were incredible. They just would not be beaten. Mm.
And I don't think the Croatia fans were that bothered. Anyway, moving on from that.
Mark Elm says, I predict that Chris Coleman comes up with yet another nickname for Gareth Bale that only he will ever use in an attempt to make it sound like they're best friends. So far, I've heard him referred to Bale as Bailey and Balo. Perhaps next it'll be Bailinho or the Balemeister. To which Dan Clegg replied, saying, my close personal friend Gareth. And Matthew Dixon, better than the nickname Batman that Robbie Savage tried to give him. I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah.
But that is what Robbie Savage will do to you.
That's right.
Darren Booty says, I'm looking forward to the Sky Sports cannot show a major tournament frustration bonanza. Interviews with fans and hot dog sellers only, please.
Yeah. Did you see Coleman's little joke on Ray Lewington? Where, Ray Lewington was spotted with the England... it looked like the first 11 or something. It looked like the starting formation anyway. And the Sun printed it in the bloody newspaper. And I imagine a lot of international press did as well, so it's not just them. But Coleman held up a piece of paper, so he would be photographed with the 1,000 megapixel cameras journalists have nowadays.
Yeah.
And he put like Franz Beckenbauer, Pele, Cafu, and stuff in his team.
Little joke. That's nice.
Excellent.
I've got a couple more quick ones, and I've got a really good one to finish with. Ben Delaney, as an 8-year-old during Euro 2000, I made a £10 billion bet with my best friend that France would beat Italy, and I still haven't seen a single penny.
Fancy that in Zimbabwe dollars.
Stuart McKeown, the inevitable moment when from on high His Majesty himself, the king of defenders up for corners, Sir Gareth McCauley, rises for a corner and plants a header into the Germans' goal for Northern Ireland to win 1-0 and go through in second place. Take that, you little world champion level slugs.
Absolute mugs.
Quick one from Rory Fallow, who says, if there's not a mensch for the bloke getting his penis out behind the goal during Italy v England penalty shootout in 2012, then the ramble has gone to the dogs.
Well, we've reserved that for him.
It's been mentioned now. Final one, Corey Jensen says, during 2008, I asked a waiting staff at the small restaurant in the north of Rome if they had a TV so I could watch the Holland-Russia game. There was one in the kitchen and they allowed me to wander back periodically to watch the game. Pavlyuchenko put Russia ahead in the second half and two waiters burst out of the kitchen, pots and ladles in hands, with an appropriate Russia, Russia chant. I went back to the kitchen to see the replay on the goal where both waiters threw their arms across my shoulders and laughed. This is the point where they started to refer to me as Ragazzo Hollandaise, which I think is Dutch boy.
It is, yeah.
He says, I'm American, not Dutch. But anyway, after Van Nistelrooy equalised, I got a chance to stand up, cheer and do two grappa shots in the restaurant. Russia went ahead in extra time. They sent out a parade of six waiters, pots, pans, and two shots of something else. Arshavin Sealer just after that landed me a conga line with the waiting staff. I did a lap around the small restaurant with tons of Italians observing Dutch boy do another two grappa shots and then six more later on in front of his future in-laws who I was having dinner with at the time. I vomited in the back alley in front of two waiters 15 minutes after the final.
Fantastic. Wow.
That's what the European Championships is all about. And I'll finish it off with Andy McLean, who says, what's a European Championships? Andy from Glasgow.
Oh, Andy.
Well played,
our
Andy.
Our listeners are the best.
We mentioned Rome there. Totti signing a 1-year extension on his contract at Roma.
Not relevant to a Euro show.
Yeah. He's not relevant to a Euro show.
Despite what he might think.
He might play. We never know. Yeah. He might fancy.
He's in the hotel.
Yeah, he's in the same hotel.
Players can be called up for injury replacements up until the day before their first game.
It could happen.
Drink water. You still keep yourself ready.
It could happen. I had a funny moment. This was my... going back to the traditions of the football amateur, we often do highlights of the week, and so allow me that. Last week I was in, it was in New York, lovely times were had. Went to see New York City FC at the Yankee Stadium. Strange to see a football match at a baseball stadium.
Yeah, but it's a big bit of extra grass on the side, isn't there?
It is, yeah, but it was great. And
for activities.
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to be in the media section. And after the game, in America, obviously in England, especially England, players are often behind the old velvet rope. It's quite hard to get access to players.
Yeah.
And often in European football, that's the case. But specifically Premier League, I think, is quite difficult. And if you want to chat to players, you go into the mix zone, don't you?
Yeah.
Where the players, they come out the dressing room, and there's that little zone called the mix zone.
For like 2 seconds.
It's 2 seconds.
And they've still got their headphones on, and they leg it.
And, not the case in America. As we see in other American sports, often they're in the changing room talking.
Is this a build-up to a story where you went out for dinner with Frank Lampard?
Well... I'd say it was better than that.
Okay.
Frank has no idea who
Bleakley.
I am, though. Very good. Yeah. What they do is you go down to the changing rooms after, as you see in other American sports. And I'd heard that you've got a lot of access.
Hang on, you go down to the changing rooms after?
No,
in American sport, it's pretty common for the cameraman, the guy to bust straight.
I'm just saying why Marcus is there.
I'm not defending his actions.
Well, it gets better, Peter. So we all troop in, and there's, you know, about 15 others in there. And I turned to my mate and I was like, I thought to myself, they'll all be dressed.
Yeah.
They'll all be ready for us. Yeah. We went into the room and suddenly nude men are coming out of the shower.
Oh, there's always wangers on American telly time.
Is that right?
Yeah. In the NFL and stuff.
It happened in an early round of the FA Cup a number of years ago.
Did it?
Yeah, it does happen.
Okay, so I didn't realise that. But there's this, like, Frank Lampard comes out of the shower just wearing a towel and I'm like... This is wrong.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be here. Can't we just wait until they're...
You're so respectful, Marcus. Well, I love it.
But when players are having to, you know, like when you're at school in PE, put your shorts on under your towel. Yeah. That's what they're doing. I'm like, they shouldn't be having to do this.
This is like back in the 90s when Newcastle had to share their change room with that university. Nice.
But weird. Yeah. So weird. Mm. And we just wait your turn. Mm. Like, wait for them to get...
You were doing it.
Well, I was very uncomfortable and mildly aroused, Jim. I would recommend it sometime. So there we are.
Good.
That was my highlight of the week, certainly. Yeah.
It's like a letter to fucking Hustler.
And shall we go to the website roundup, Jim? Quickly, Jim, quickly.
Yes, let's. Okay, so nice and simple this week. There'll be plenty of Euros coverage on the site, and Kelly will also be live tweeting many, many games at Kelly_Wells. So, get involved.
And thefootballramble.com, did you say that? Thefootballramble.com.
It's our website.
Yeah.
I thought people would know that.
I don't know if Marcus said it or not.
No, I didn't.
Let's all say it at the same time.
thefootballramble.com.
Yeah. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
Yeah.
Do you want to drive somewhere? What was that action?
I was saying, do you have an email?
No. Let's get out of the show. We'll do emails
next
week.
Thanks for listening or next time, Peter, because we'll be back on Saturday night or Sunday morning, depending on what time we pick up the podcast.
After the England game.
We're recording after England versus Russia. But thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. You're sponsored by Bet365. This is, of course, the first show of 13. Lovely. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
I'm a Dutch boy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Your ocean.